Welcome to the Soulish Podcast. My name is Whitney Apke and I'm your host. On the Soulish Podcast, we talk about the soul journey, the body, soul, spirit connection. And I bring on guests who are thought leaders, truth seekers, healers, intuitives, practitioners, all the like, business, entrepreneurs. I have it all on this podcast because really, everything we experience in this life is part of our soul journey, right? Like this incarnation, this finite little chunk of time and the existence of all things, you know, is meant to be a journey in which you have this like really quick, compacted, you know, human experience. And we have this, if you believe in reincarnation, over and over and over again. But it's really about the soul journey. It's about what we bring with our soul at the end of this incarnation, at the end of this experience. And so all of the things are important, whether it's our purpose, our career, our you know, our relationships, our relationship with self, our relationship with God, source, spirit, the divine, how we spend our lives, this physical body and what we experience in this physical body, whether that's, you know, bliss and strength and power or suffering or trauma. It also has to do with our thoughts and our emotions and the things that we experience internally, right? As well as externally. And so I love having all the conversations and I love sharing my soul journey with you guys as well. Thank you so much for being a part of the Soulish Tribe. Thank you so much for being here and being a part of this conversation today that I'm having with an amazing, amazing person from Germany. His name is Martin Theis, and he is an amazing shamanic breathwork practitioner, facilitator, healer, whatever you want to call it. He has like this really strong desire to facilitate basically a more tranquil way of living. And he very much, I think, channels Eckhart Tolle. That is one of the people that he has sat under, that he has really absorbed those teachings for like a decade or so. And he really values the gifts that other people have and really strives to live with that intention of helping people heal, helping people tap into their own inner happiness, their own inner contentedness, and also just realizing like anything is possible and that you're not limited, right? That you have the ability to connect within yourself, that you have the ability to heal all within you. And Martin just really comes from a place of just total self-empowerment, that we have everything we need within us to navigate life, to heal. And that really, what I love about like shamanic healing, shamanic journey, what I aligned with and why I even pursued being trained in the shamanic way of healing is because it's a journey. And it's like everything that you're experiencing, you're meant to experience. Like there's no wrong or bad experience. So we can see things that are uncomfortable or things that are painful as negative, you know, bad, or there's something wrong with me, you know, this makes me unworthy or this makes me not enough. But really, actually, everything, including the things that are uncomfy or shitty or traumatic, like those have value in our life, whether in the moment or years later. And Martin shares this really awesome, you know, just kind of like tidbit that, you know, the real awesome, I don't know, ability to flourish or the ability to grow, like what actually ministers to us most is the shit that we experience, because we can use that to help us grow. We can use that to have wisdom and discernment. We can use that pain as a vehicle to really have and experience deep healing. And I really do believe that one of the big reasons why we come here is to heal, whether that's to heal the karma, right? Or to heal just via an experience, whether it's to heal your ego, you know, even just something as simple as that, or it's like you're here to really work through financial shit, you know, and heal your beliefs around finances and provision and support. Maybe it's relationships. Maybe you came here to really work through some like relationship shit, you know, and you've had either parents that were just shitty parents, you know, quote unquote, or you've had like relationship trauma, bad relationships, or no relationships. You know, you've just struggled in your aloneness or loneliness for years and wondering what's wrong with you that you, you know, aren't attracting a partner into your life, right? Or even good friends, a good sister tribe or brotherhood or a collective, a group of people that you connect with and that you can, you know, share with, share your life with. It could be anything that you came here, right, to shift, to transmute, to heal. I believe that we all come with something or some things to heal, to shift, to transmute. And one of the things that Martin just talks about over and over and keeps on emphasizing is the power of connection. The fact that we have that ability to connect, we have that ability to heal, we have that ability to shift things in a real way and in a big way in our life. And that one of the tools that he uses is breath work. And I've experienced holotropic breathing, Kriya, fire breathing, box breathing is what I usually take all my clients through to begin with, because it's simple and easy to follow, as well as it's really introductory and it's kind of helps you to expand your lungs and to really feel them expanding, because a lot of the breathing that we do during the day is pretty shallow. You know, it's just to talk, you know, or to just breathe as you're working, you know, away. Except for exercise. Exercise is the other time that we really kind of have more of a capacity of breath as you're working out, right? Which is really healthy and really good. But breath work is something where you're not really moving. You're kind of stationary. You're sitting or you're laying down, and you're just really focused on your breath. And in different types of breathing, I've done holotropic where it's so intense, very similar to fire breathing. In fact, I think they're pretty much the same. But with holotropic breathing, I had such an insane experience with seeing, I don't know if he's like an ancestor of mine or spirit guide or what he technically is, but he's a chief that has appeared to me twice. One when I was activated in Reiki level 2, and the second time was in this holotropic breathing, and he came back to me and he said, remember who you are. And it was like just so intense. Like I felt like wind was blowing in my face in this thing. Like it felt like my hair like was blowing back in this intense wind as he was speaking to me. It was like so freaking intense. Like I felt like I, in the vision, I was like leaning forward and he was like, remember who you are. It was like so intense. And I was just like, I'll remember. And I was like crying and just having this crazy experience, because he told me who I am when I was activated in Reiki. And he called me by a different name and he's like, this is who you are, you know? So it's like, here I am doing this breath work and I'm just thinking, oh, I'm just gonna have this fun breath work. And it's like, he comes back and it's like full force, like I'm being blown back by some power, but it was just such a force and it was so beautiful and it was so amazing and so intense. And it really activated something in me. Like I know it sounds really intense, but it was something that I'll never forget. And that's just being done by breath work. Like I didn't take anything. There's no shrooms or ayahuasca or anything involved, no acid, just pure breath, right? And I went into this place in this spirit realm, in this dimension that I had been to before. And yet I'm being reminded of the power, you know, that is within me. And that's what I think is so powerful with this conversation, is remembering and recalling, or being told maybe for the first time. Maybe you've never been told that you're powerful. Maybe you've never been reminded of who you are, right? But I think that we all have that power. We all have something giving us that push, that reminder that we are powerful, that we can heal, that we can shift whatever it is that is limiting us or diminishing us in some way. And so this conversation with Martin is so amazing because it's all about that powerful connection that you can experience in breath work and all that it can activate, all that it can shift, all that it can heal. And so Martin shares a lot in this episode. We definitely bounce around different things, but the whole point of this conversation is talking about the power of connection And so I hope that you connect with Martin and that you really get something, a nugget of wisdom, of truth, of something that is relevant to you and inspires you to connect with yourself and with your power and your inner ability to connect with yourself, the divine, others, and all of the things. So enjoy my conversation with Martin. Here you go. That's cool. So did we even chat about this, that I have German roots?
No.
Oh my gosh. So yeah, I'm Apke is my last name, but it's Apke, right, in German. And we were Apkeheimer, and we dropped the Heimer in order to escape persecution because we were German Jewish okay. German. Yeah. So yeah. So I have like some German roots. I have the freckles to prove it too.
Is that so? I didn't even know. Yeah. I don't have freckles.
You don't have German freckles? No. Maybe that's just something my mom used to say to be cute. But yeah, from one fellow German American to another. Yeah, although it was like generations back, so I feel like I can't quite, you know, claim the German. But it's cool to have similar roots, because I know, like, from wherever you came, if your family has always been in Germany, or if you've kind of like navigated, you know, around, like, you know, it's just, it's cool to connect, you know, in some way. Yeah. It's fun. So anyway,
yeah.
Well, I want to welcome you to the Soulish podcast. Thank you so much for being here, Martin. It's a privilege to talk with someone who has such a heart for helping people heal and shift whatever it is that they need to shift in order to heal, to transmute, to really become more aware of our divinity, our power, all those things, right? Like our connection with the divine, with God, with the universe, with source. And I love that you really focus also on the shamanic healing, and because shamanic healing is really a journey. Like that's really the focus with shamanic work, is the journey of healing. That sometimes we have like a holy miracle healing, right? Shift that happens and it's like instant. But a lot of the times it's a journey of healing and breaking down those layers, right? So I love that that's part of the work you do. So welcome to the podcast. I'm excited for this conversation.
Thank you. Thank you. It's been so lovely. And you are right. It is a journey, right? I mean, the life is a journey. And the shamanic aspect is probably what I would add to that, is just being aware of these different kinds of realities that this journey takes place in, and that time and space are just one part of it. And then that there's other layers where we can really see holistically how it is all one, how we are one in this moment, right?
So, yeah. It is about that oneness. I think that's something that we crave, right? In this world, we crave connection. We crave that oneness within ourselves, but also that oneness within each other. And I think that's another thing, a part of like shamanic healing that I really gravitated towards when I went through some training, was the seeing the oneness in all things, like really being aware of how connected we are with each other, with nature, within ourselves, you know, that like there aren't separate parts of us, you know, like everything works together for us to exist and to have this experience. And I think that's really important to note, you know, and to like be mindful or be aware of, is oneness.
Yeah, and I think the difficulty is that oftentimes we speak of that oneness as a concept, as something that is a theoretical understanding, but to really feel that connection and to understand that golden rule, what I do onto others is what I do onto myself. And so that is why I treat others with the love and kindness that I am, because when I am sensitive to that, I feel how this relationship that we have is that circular relationship, is that by giving others I receive, and vice versa, right? So that there's always a circle. And absolutely, it is that feeling And the craving, I would say, in the world that many people experience is coming from that disconnect, that we are disconnected oftentimes. When I started on that journey, I hated myself. I hated pretty much everything. And I was treating the environment really badly. Like all my goals and achievements that I wanted to do were very materially oriented. And I wanted status and comfortable living and money and all these things, which are not bad in themselves. But if it is the only goal that we have, we walk over graves. I don't know if that's the correct saying, but it's just kind of like really doing whatever it takes in order to fulfill this need for status recognition. And we see the shape the world is in right now is that this is the predominant mode of operation, and that we are as a whole slowly realizing, because the planet is just showing us that this cannot continue and that it's an unsustainable model for development and evolving.
I think a lot of the time when people, us, I mean, I've craved it, I've wanted it, I've gone after it too, the success, the status, the money, right? I do think that that is another expression of wanting that connection. Because why do you want status if it not to be acknowledged and accepted, you know, important to matter? You know, what is money if not to feel safe and feel like you have unlimited resources, right? Yeah. But the thing is that you can get that, and you can get that feeling, you can think those thoughts, right? You can have that experience without that, without the status, without the success, without the money, you know? Like, it's what I'm realizing more and more is, like, it's my perspective. It's the projections that I place on and the meaning that I place on things in this world, right? But it's like at the core of who I am, what is it that I'm actually wanting? I'm actually wanting connection and belonging and a tribe and to matter and for my existence to mean something and not just to be a waft in the wind, you know? I don't want to just be a drop in the endless bucket of time. Like I don't know. Like, Martin, I often think of this, like, because I grew up Christian, right? So I was like, man, I want to do like what Jesus did. Right? I want to impact the world. I want to bring healing in that way. I want to bring connection. I want to bring down the divine, the spirit. You know, I want people to experience God and love and connection and oneness. And I want to do that in a big way to where thousands of years later, people remember Whitney Dene Apke, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Not for the status, not for the fame, just for the impact and the influence, right, that like Jesus had, because I really want to help people. Like, I have such a burning desire to help people. And then the other half of me goes, okay, yeah, I don't know if like Whitney Apke is going to be a household name, but, you know, or like known thousands of years later, but I have that desire to have that level of impact. And I think at the core, that's like all that matters, right? No matter what little container box we put it in.
Yeah, I feel like when you talk and when I hear that, and I totally see myself in this. When I was a musician, I always saw myself standing on big stages, reaching thousands and thousands of people with my music and millions in records or whatever it is. And to realize that this is also just that need for recognition. Why do I want to be that prophet who is remembered in eternity?
Right.
And I think when you mentioned the energy of Jesus was that he was meeting people with this complete openness and with this recognition of we are the children of the Creator, and everyone is that, has that Christ consciousness in them, whether they know it or not. And Alan Watts, in one of his talks, has this beautiful part where he just like describes how he looks into people's eyes to tell them, you're it. And he sees back like, what, me? I'm it? What? No. You know, so this internal recognition of meeting people with that love and kindness, with this with this high high vibration, you know, but when it comes down to it, when I see myself operating in society, I'm so easily frustrated and judgmental. And then I have to remember, man, this being that I'm so aggravated of is also God as much as I am. It is,
right.
I just don't want to give it to that person right now because I'm angry or something. But
right.
I think that is all that it takes for us all to really be more in that energy. And then great things come out of it, but it's not that aspiration of being great, but just like through these small actions, through meeting people who are in need, just asking, are you okay? Can I help you with anything? Or seeing something. I think I just remembered when I was at an Eckhart Tolle retreat some months ago, there was a old lady coming out of the dunes from the beach, and she was really kind of like struggling and wobbling a little bit. And we were three, four, five people in a group walking on the boardwalk. Nobody was really seeing her, and I saw her on this like in the peripheral vision. And I just stopped and looked at it and asked her, "Can I help you?" And she says, "Yes." And she was receiving that help and was really grateful. And here we are, all these retreat participants, and everybody could have seen that. And it's
right.
not that the others were bad. It's just that oftentimes we don't see where
yeah.
small things could make a big difference.
Yes. Sometimes, Martin, is just being present with somebody. Sometimes there's the power of presence, and Eckhart Tolle talks about that, right? That's what everything, like what made the guy well known, you know, is
yeah.
like the power of presence, of being present. And so to be at a conference and to really not still be present in the fact that you're even just aware of your surroundings, it's hard. I find that's very hard, not to be critical of the spiritual community or people in general, but we've kind of, I don't know if it's culture, Martin. I don't know if it's society. I don't know if it's just like what's going on with the world. You know, I have no idea. Ugh, the pandemic, but it's like we are so all consumed with ourselves, our own safety. I'm protecting myself against you, right? Whether in the spiritual community, it's I'm protecting my energy from your energy because your energy is negative. My energy is positive. I don't want you to bring down my vibe, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, whoa. I mean, wow, thanks for making me so powerful, all powerful, that I could impact you in some way that would bring your vibe down. cool. But I think like that's like some of the missing pieces around oneness and connection, is that as you connect with yourself, you cannot help. It's like an automatic thing that happens, is as you connect with yourself, with the divine, right? You get all connected. You cannot help but be connected with other people and feel other people when someone's in need. Like I guarantee, like, yeah, you may have seen her in your peripheral, but I guarantee there was something that told you to look that way. I guarantee you there was some sort of pull that you had to notice her because her energy was something that you were tuning into, right? That you were aware of, and you could tell, feel the distress. And then when you looked at her, you could see that that's evident. She's clearly struggling, you know, having a struggle and in need of some support. And what that did for her was probably, you know, maybe Martin, she had the thought around, no one sees me, no one notices me, I'm completely unimportant in the world. Like no one cares, no one gives a fuck about me. And to have you just even notice her and then to even approach her and ask her if she needs help and support, maybe that did something for her that she needed, right? It's like we can serve each other in such amazing capacities and we don't even know it. Right? We don't even know the struggle that someone's having, the internal thoughts that someone's having about themselves, their value, their worth, their meaning in this world, and what their existence even is worth. And you could have totally given her that love, and it was just a simple kindness, you know, and that was the love and kindness she needed in that moment. Like, we don't know, right?
Yeah.
It's so important to be aware and to be connected.
It is, but on the other hand, when I heard you saying that, the thoughts of I don't want to spend time with that person because their energy brings me down, I think it is a two-edged sword, because in the beginning, when I'm coming from codependency, I'm coming from making other people happy and completely overextending myself in order to make other people happy. And we need to set boundaries. And this evolution part where I'm finding out where am I ending and where is somebody else beginning and where is that emotional or energetic boundary, I never really experienced that because I was always trying to make everyone in the room be happy because I experienced when I was young when that energy kind of flips down into the very negative, that the consequences are much, much worse than for me just trying to feed this energy with positiveness. And so it is important in the beginning to really set boundaries and to say, well, I can't stay with that person because he drags me down, because then we are in certain other patterns, in automatisms that we learned as children. But as we evolve to realize this is also just helping me to be present with that energy of that person, and as you mentioned, not give that person the power to change our emotional state through their actions. But that needs a lot of practice and mastery, in a sense. Not take on that energy, for me, is one of the highest challenges that I needed to learn. You know, it's your energy. I'm here, but I'm not taking on that energy in order to make you feel better. Because I can't stand that feeling of depressiveness or anger or whatever that emotion is that is creating that reaction in us.
I totally agree. I think it's totally, I'm highlighting kind of one aspect of it, but if we're talking about the holistic, you know, view of codependency, energy, vibe, connection, you know, all of the things, right? Then yeah, I set up an energetic boundary in my home and in my space, but that's more of an intention of anything that is supportive is allowed in this space, right? Anything, because this is where I work and have my being and live, right, and exist. Yeah. But when I go out to the world, I guess I don't really have that perspective of thinking that someone's energy could impact mine unless I allow it, unless I engage in it, unless I am, like you said, codependent, which any empath, and we all have empathy, right? We all have the gift of empathy, being able to feel what someone else feels. But if you're super strong in that, and that's one of your fortes, which is, I think, meant to be very healing, empaths, we need empaths to be able to help us even navigate how we even feel sometimes, right? Especially when we're dealing with trauma or anything like that, that really needs healing. So we need that. And that's definitely something, as an empath as you are, needs to learn those boundaries, because it's not easy to tap out of someone's feelings when they're really feeling something really strong. Not easy. I know that firsthand too. But then there's this other side of understanding that I can be in the room with someone, or I can be in the conversation with someone that is simply expressing their suffering and expressing, you know, what they're going through, which is really difficult, really, really dark. Dark. And I can experience that. I can be a witness of that. I can, I guess, in essence, hold space for that, be here and support without it impacting me. But I do think that that takes practice, because I don't know about you, I always want to save somebody. I always want to come in and rescue and no, don't feel like that anymore, because I hate it when people suffer. I want to help heal, right? I want them to have happiness and joy instead of depression and feel like they need to just end it all, right? Yeah. So that's really hard, but that does take time. But I think as we do our own work, right, that's really where it comes from. It's just doing our own work and really working in on our own codependency or whatever it is, right? Our need to save or whatever it is, need to belong. So you need to fulfill a need that I have because I need to feel that way, right? I need to feel connected. So you're supposed to connect with me, right? You're supposed to reach out to me. That's not fair, you know, but we can easily do that because we're kind of set up in a world, in a society where it's you're supposed to meet my needs, you know, there should be maybe an even exchange. I pay for you to meet my needs, right? That's existed for eons. So we have that, you know, and we low key have that in spiritual community where it's pay me for the services that I'm offering, which there's nothing wrong with that, right? But it's the I guess, intention or the reason why we do something that can either have like a positive or impact or reinforce something that may not be super supportive in the way that we view it, you know, because there's a difference between coming at something knowing you're not going to meet my need. You're simply facilitating, you know, this space where I can come in and reconnect with myself, be fully empowered in order to heal, shift, you know, step into my power, whatever that is, right? Like, I know that you're not my source, right? You're not the reason why I was healed in that breathwork session. Like, yeah. It's because you just offered this space and you facilitated and you made it safe for me to do that, you know, with others. And so I think like that's the difference, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. It is creating that space and knowing that in the end, I am just a conduit. I am just the facilitator. I am opening a door, maybe, or creating a room, like you said. I'm inviting you into my room, into my energy field. And I love the metaphor that Eckhart uses by having a log that is put closer to the burning fire. If that log gets close enough, it will start to burn and it will ignite and it will burn. And if you take it away, it will continue to burn. But there needs to be that activation power, or at least something where that can occur. And going back to that retreat, it is really amazing to me that I have been working with Eckhart's teaching for over 10 years now. And having been in one room with him for 4 or 5 days in a row, the whole vibration of the crowd was slowly rising. At the end, everybody was just like in tears when he was just like saying his final words, and we were so moved by that, and we were just, don't go, please don't go, you know, we want to stay in this sweet, comfortable bubble of love and appreciation and presence just all day, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so to facilitate that for people who probably don't have that in their life,
right.
You know.
Yeah.
Because it is a great gift for me. It has always, not always, but like, because this journey has been going on for such a long time, I tend to forget. But the people in my life and the support structures and my mentor and all these, for me, this is just like, I have this abundance and wealth of people and connections and energy. But other people, they are in their solace or in this isolation where they don't know that there is actually another way of experiencing life, and to just present that energy field where they can experience themselves and right. that connection to themselves and see, well, everything is here. I don't need anything. I don't need all the things that we mentioned before. I mm-hmm. myself am enough. You know, it's mm-hmm. that disbelief of, or that false belief of, I am not good enough. I'm not enough. To really see, wow, everything is okay. I'm grateful for all these things in my life. You know, there's mm-hmm. a lot of shit, but there's also beauty. You know, mm-hmm. like a friend of mine used to say, he had this beautiful poem, and when you called him on his phone, you heard. Sometimes I just called him to hear that voice message, and it is that manure, that shit that we experience, is the ground for all yep. the growth and all the things, all the beautiful flowers and trees and fruits and whatever it is that comes mm-hmm. out of that manure, right? So mm-hmm. To really see, well, everything is here.
Yeah, that even the shit that we experience in our life can be used to help us flourish and grow. That it's not something that just needs to be discarded because yeah. it was uncomfortable or painful or traumatic. It's like, no, like that's an experience that's actually has a lot of value and is actually worth something and can actually help grow, you know, help you flourish, help you even maybe be stronger than you were before. Yeah.
The sacred wound in the shamanic teachings that I was taught is that the things that we experience that hurt us the most is the source for our greatest strength, that
yeah.
we can use might be the wrong word, but maybe channel into helping others who have experienced something similar or who might need just a word of support or something, just that presence and being able to be with someone who has experienced suicide, maybe just as one example in my life. Having experienced that, having grown through that, and having kind of like found my peace, and knowing that this is something that so many people are struggling in this world. We have such high suicide rates in the whole world, you know? And to just be one of the few sources where someone who has experience something traumatic to just be there without wanting to push that away. No, we don't talk about this here. This is making me too depressed or too sad because it is, like you said, dark and heavy. Nobody wants to feel that. But to have a place where I can actually be with that and share that and say it, and by saying it, transforming it, letting it go, and really just being in that healing space.
I love another quote. I just know that my dad used to say it on Sundays because he was a pastor, but I'll never forget it because it really helped me in coming out of things or even in the midst of real pain and struggle and even trauma of my own. But whatever you heal within yourself, you have authority to heal, or I would even say facilitate healing in others. It's something that because you're so acquainted with that suffering, you're able to support someone in navigating through that. You know, it's different for every individual, right? Because every individual experience is unique. But
Yeah.
at the same time, you have principles, you have wisdom, you have discernment, you know the thoughts, you know the feelings that you have with those thoughts, right? More than someone that maybe hasn't gone through that before,
Yeah.
So I think that's really powerful too. And that's what a lot of healers, I think what makes a healer so good at what they do is that they're so familiar with suffering. They're so familiar with trauma and pain. They've gone through their own and they've done their own healing and work. And I think that's part of what makes us all healers in a sense, because we all have the ability to heal within ourselves. We all have the ability to support other people in their healing process and journey. So, I just think what separates a shaman, or like an actual, like your part of your purpose on this earth is to solely like facilitate healing journeys, I think is just, I don't know if it's necessarily the credentials of your like life experience or just you have this ability that other people don't have. I don't really know, but maybe it's the compassion, maybe it's the capacity to hold space for people that some people don't have, I don't know, but I think we all have the
I would
ability to
argue
connect.
they have it. They just have not realized it and have not done the
Ah,
work, you know? So
there
I
you
would
go.
say, yes, there is, like in everything, there is talent. There is a certain amount of talent that you need to be a great pianist or a great, like, violinist. But then if you don't practice, if you're not dedicated, and if you don't really put in the work, all the talent in the world will not help you to become a master in what you do, right? And
Yes.
so I feel like oftentimes there is a certain amount of external factors that created, and if I talk about myself, created me as a being that has a predisposition to being empathic and to hold that space and to feel how it feels like to suffer that much and to not know a way out, right? So there is a
Right.
certain external, maybe karma, if we want to use that word. There has
Yeah.
been something that has been passed on through my external factors, but that doesn't mean that it needs to be that. There is someone like, I feel like there the chance to this kind of enlightenment, awakening, awareness, we it's not chronological, or it's not like we can't predict that you have to have a certain amount of experience and pain and suffering in order to be a great teacher. You
Right.
can one day wake up and feel like everything has changed. Maybe you had some kind of experience, a Satori experience, where you just everything changes. And I feel like it is important to empower people in the knowing that we cannot predict that only because I needed 12 years to get to this point, that means everybody else also needs as
right
much.
Yeah, it's different for everyone. I want to kind of transition into the work that you do, because a lot of what you do is shamanic healing journeys, breath work. You facilitate a lot of people having the chance to connect in a safe environment with other people, but to connect within themselves, to be empowered, to shift, to heal. And that's a lot of the work you do, is really that collective shift, and how that actually is mostly because we're individually shifting, right?
Mm-hmm.
Together, right? We're doing this individually on an individual level, and therefore then a collective level. And I know, like, for breath work, I've, you know, had a few chats here on the podcast around breath work, but I think, as well as plant medicine ceremonies, but I think what's really powerful with breath work is that when you're in the midst of it, you realize just how much you have the ability to connect and to heal and to shift, and all within yourself. Like, you don't need anything externally, right, to do this. It's all within your own vessel, this body, your lungs, right? And I think that's really cool. I've done different, like, fire breathing, Kriya. I've done holotropic. I've done a few things. I've just even done box breathing, where, mm-hmm. you know, you're just counting up, holding for, you know, a count, coming down for a count, holding at the bottom for a count, and mm-hmm. just doing that. And even that is so connecting. And that's what I have a lot of my clients just even start with, is just box breathing for a five count, you know, and just mm-hmm. getting in that rhythm, because that is so transformational even within itself. And so I know that you facilitate a lot of breathwork ceremonies and or workshops and things like that. Do you mind sharing a bit of the work that you do?
I would love to share of my work. I would say that in order to put the perspective right, is that most of the foundation that we do is the shamanic journeys. So the shamanic journeys are like the bread and butter of what I do. But because if what you say is true, if I'm not able to connect with my breath, if I'm not able to stay with the breath and work, the breath is kind of like that tool that helps us to unfold layer by layer, to really peel the onion. And if an emotion comes up in a shamanic journey, I have only two options. The one is I stop breathing, or I do shallow breath, and then I will probably get tired and either fall asleep or fall into some sleep-like place where this is the protection for not feeling what is there, you know?
Interesting.
And I needed a long time to really understand this, even though my mentor kept on repeating, feel, use the breath, breathe, keep on breathing during the journey. If there's some sensation, if there's something coming up, keep on breathing. But to really be able to incorporate that, and it's still sometimes that I'm falling into this subconscious state in a journey when I'm not able to accept what is here in this journey and wants to be seen, wants to be acknowledged, wants to be transformed and let go of. And so, coming back to your question, the breath is so important because it enables us to stay with the emotion and to feel that emotion. If we stop breathing, that's why most of us breathe so shallowly during the day, because this is a way for us to protect, kind of like, I'm not breathing. But if we look at, how's the Iceman called? I just forgot.
Wim Hof,
right.
Yeah.
So he Iceman. Uses the breath. Yeah, he uses the breath. If you're in the cold and you just keep on breathing, you use that breath in order to transform that, whatever that sensation is. And as you mentioned, that power breath, that breath of fire.
Yeah, the fire breathing.
Is our
greatest source of energy, where we lead that energy through the chakra system from the root chakra up to the crown. And if it stops, if there is some resistance, if some chakra is blocked, if something is not in alignment, so to say, our breath is helping that to just feel it and to slowly open up, to kind of like get in touch with that, whatever it is. If we're not able to keep on breathing, then this is where the energy stops. And so we often know, depending on what issues I have in my life, that is an energy system that I have to work with, and it is often through the breath that we can unfold that, you know.
So good. Yeah, I think it's been interesting, because I know that there's a lot, like, this can go, we could talk about this for hours as far as like Kundalini experiences where everything comes online. Some of the things that I've heard where it's like, that could be dangerous if you're not prepared for it, or if you're not cleared prior, right, that you can actually have some sort of energetic injury if you just blast off. So there's like a lot of, you know, importance in like really taking the time to really connect and to really become more aware of yourself and where you're at. And it's not a status thing. It's not like I'm less spiritual than this person. It's just a matter of, look, like, you're just connecting with yourself in a way that we weren't taught. Like, I wasn't taught that since birth, you know, like, of how to connect. This is kind of new. I mean, this is just in the last decade or two, right, that it's become more and more like these teachings have been spread out, right? And we've come to know that this is even possible. I mean, it's been around for centuries and thousands of years, but like, it wasn't readily available for me growing up. I mean, the most I knew was Holy Spirit during worship and, you know, praise and worship for God. Like, that's when I had my first Kundalini technically experience, is in church and with the Holy Spirit, you know. The same thing exists in the spiritual realm. It's just different costumes and different understandings of it. But I still didn't know. I still was outsourcing my ability to connect with God, right, to Jesus or to something outside of myself, including a minister that's coming into town that's like, quote unquote, anointed, gifted, right? And like, oh, since he's coming or she's coming, you know, this weekend, like, I'm gonna have an amazing experience with God. And it's like, we actually can do that on our own. Like, we don't need anyone else, anything else. We can actually experience God. We can experience oneness within ourselves, within our energy centers, total healing, freedom, joy, happiness, you know. Can still experience shit, but we see it for what it is, you know. Manure for the garden. You know, and it's like, it doesn't impact you like it did. You don't get all involved, you know, like it did. Things don't matter as much in the day-to-day experience, right? Like, someone cuts you off in the car or flips the bird, or, you know, it's, and you're just like, oh wow, okay, well, I don't know what I did. Like, I must have just been clueless or something, or just in your way, you know, like, but it doesn't, you don't get all, oh, how dare you, you know, like, kind of thing. It just, things just don't touch you like they used to do when you are connected and when you've done the work. And when you do breath work, that's like one of the hugest ways to connect. It's the biggest way to go through your own journey and to not, you know, I think for me, I get all self-conscious with like, am I all online? You know, am I gonna like find something out during this journey in front of all these people that I didn't know? You know, like, that's part of what freaks me out, is like, am I completely unaware that like my heart chakra is blocked or throat or, you know, whatever it is. So do you help people with that? Like, is that part of what you do? Cause that's something that I know, like, I go into it going like, man, it's gonna suck if something like gross happens, if something really embarrassing happens, you know. Is that something that you help people like work through, just like the insecurities, I guess, the not enoughness of like, oh, I have this block, so that's like now an identity thing of like, my heart chakra is blocked, right? Do you help people with that?
I would say this is really difficult. This is difficult to answer, because the beautiful part of my work is that it's so applicable and different, you know? So the best way to describe it is it could be that we end up with maybe a systematic constellation where there's someone working with their family or with their loved ones or with something. But this doesn't mean that in every program or in every group constellation that this would come up. And so maybe someone is at that place where we're working with chakras. Maybe they have an understanding of that, or maybe it comes up that I just mentioned something and that person has something to work with. But the baseline is that everybody is their own teacher. So the tools that you know, you will be coming to me and we will be just doing whatever your intention is. And maybe in your journey, there will be a hint, do more breath work, or your divine guidance will tell you, well, you can do this or that. So I'm in the least places, I don't see myself really as an educator per se. I sometimes do teachings, but most of the time I'm just stepping back and helping you to connect with your inner wisdom and your guidance, because that is the greatest sustainable transformational tool that we have. Rather than we're back to codependent relationships. I don't
Right.
need to create clients that depend on me in order to keep my money coming in, to really
Right.
simplify it down. But what I'm interested in is really to help you connect with yourself and with your tools, with your divine guidance. I'm just offering these journeys as a way of connecting with your inner wisdom, with your inner peace, and with your guidance and spirit guides, whatever it is that is coming through. And then you are empowered in going your own way. And you could even do these journeys, even let's say you participate in a 16-week program with me and you experience 15 different shamanic journeys. You could do these 15 journeys for the rest of your life and learn something new every time. So
Right.
it is that space that I create. It is not really identifiable if there's a certain thing that I'm working with, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. Like it's whatever someone's coming in with, whatever their unique, wherever they are in their unique journey is basically like you're just ready to facilitate, to handle it all, because really what the work you do is to empower them to heal. It's not you healing them, it's you empowering them to heal themselves.
And I mean, don't get me wrong, I invested so much time and I'm constantly learning. I'm listening to my spiritual teachers. And so I have this toolkit of all these things that could pop up, but it is not really specified in the sense that this is our approach. And today we're working with maybe Hindu philosophy and we're working with this and that, and this is the Buddhist teaching on the middle way, and I'm going to train you to become a bodhisattva, and this is what you have to do. So I
Right.
know a lot of these things, and I've learned continuously, but I'm not picking the tools. The person is picking the tools and the space and the divine moment in that sacred space. You know, when we start our
Yeah.
session, we open up the sacred space and divine guidance comes in. And when we're done, we're closing that space so that we have a clear ending and that person has a way of starting their integration.
That's really good. So, what is so important with opening and closing the space? Like, what is the principle behind that? If you don't close the space after the ceremony, what happens? Does anything happen?
I think it comes to, I don't think anything really happens, like doomsday prophecies or something really bad happens, in the sense of I'm open to spirits and I will be attacked by negative entities. Or I don't think it is anything about that. I think if we look at it from more of the positive aspects of intention, what is my intention? My intention is to be here, to be connected to that divine guidance, and to receive that divine guidance, and to define a clear container for this teaching. And to the same way if we have an intention and we go into our journey. In the moment we have that intention, the journey becomes aligned with everything that we experience in that journey will teach us about our intention and will bring us further on this intention. But if I don't have an intention, and let's say I'm just doing a shamanic journey to be really broad, then this could be anything. And I'm asking myself afterwards, what was this about? What am I supposed to know from this? Is there something that I should do? So then there is this maybe a little bit more chaotic. In the same way, I would say if we hold that intention for opening and closing the space, it's a really defined moment in time where we are receiving that guidance, and then we close that space in order to honor also this guidance and to give thanks to that and to continue on that more material kind of like material plane, and to be maybe a little less open, you know, because we need the integration. And in the worst case, if I'm really sensitive and I open something up, like maybe an acid trip or a mushroom trip, and it stays, we're really lost in this world because we need that to end. We need that impulse, but we also need the clarity in order to integrate those two worlds into each other.
Yeah, I know I've heard 'cause I've just had like a few interactions with shamans, but it's kind of the thing of like, would you leave your front door wide open? You know? It's not necessarily that it's like 'cause you're afraid of the boogeyman, it's just we close the door, right? It's just understanding like this is the container. So you open the door, you come in, you go, you close, you know, 'cause like this is the place, the energetic sphere, whatever you want to call it. Of where this is, we're having this experience. So it's not, I agree with you. Like I grew up being afraid of like demons, demonic possession or oppression or attacks, psychic attacks, those types of things, and being really like all aware of it, you know? And I think, can those things happen? Perhaps, you know, if that's something that somebody needs to experience or wants to experience, they probably will experience it. But is that like the something that happens every single time if you don't close a space or you know something like that? Again, it goes back to our own sovereignty, our own power, like our own ability to either be dependent on something or not dependent on something, connected or not connected, you know, it just all kind of flows together. For you with the breath work, I know we talked earlier that you don't necessarily do any specific type of breath work like holotropic, neurotropic, or kriya, or you know, fire breathing, but you just kind of allow people to breathe in the way that they kind of intuitively feel. Is that correct?
I think so. Yes, you are correct. And what I mean is, I think we have a pretty clear understanding of once we turn our attention to our body, where energy is really stuck or where it hurts. When I just right now being observing in my body, I feel that some part in me is just really doesn't feel so well, you know? And to keep continually breathing consciously and to feel that and to drop the label, the greatest insight that I had on the Eckhart Tolle retreat was that Kim Eng, his partner, said, drop the label and just experience the energy. And so when we're breathing in these shamanic journeys, maybe sometimes we feel like a really stuck energy, and I can't tell you how to approach your breath, because it is like learning something that we have a concept. We know how to ride a bike, but we don't know how it actually feels to ride a bike and to stay on the bike and how to balance. And so everybody needs to find that approach and to know and to understand, how can I, with my breath, get in touch with this sensation, that energy, and how can I give it attention, and it will shift, you know? It oftentimes it will shift by itself, it will either get stronger or it might go into a different part of the body, but I cannot really tell you how to do that or where to put that, because it is that intuitive element that everyone has to really learn for themselves. You know, it is just that encouragement, stay with the breath, feel that sensation, drop the label. If it is is an emotion or something, drop the label, it hurts badly, or it hurts even, to just experience that as energy and to be with that energy as much as I can without being really masochistic in a way where it's really if we use the analogy for stretching, I'm not going all the way in full pain, full body resistance, my
Right.
whole body is shutting down, but it hurts so bad. That's way, 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 way too far. So it is just to that point where I can be with the uncomfortableness and still experience and explore that and accept that right now as much as I can.
I love that example. It's like the perfect example for, we could use it for so many things, of riding a bike, because everybody can ride a bike. Right? Everyone has the ability to balance, right? But it does take practice. And especially if you're out of practice, you can feel really wobbly, right? But it's like at the end of the day, really what you're doing is you're holding the seat, the back of the seat, right? And you're helping people navigate that, you know, and facilitate that. And you're creating safety around that. So, like, if they crash, you got them. You're going to catch them right before they fall. So, that's like what I think is so important when something is new, or maybe you haven't done it like that before, you know, you've never actually ridden a bike, or done breath work, or done it more intensely, or you know, in a way that it's going to be uncomfortable. I think it's really important to find somebody that you feel safe with to do that, and that you know you feel like this is a safe place also to have the experience. And so thank you so much for creating that for people, because we need that. We need more people to do that. And I really appreciate your heart. I really appreciate like why you do the things that you do and your journey. So thank you so much, Martin, for sharing that here on the Soulish Podcast and with the Soulish Tribe, because it's really helpful to know like you exist, you know, and there's other people out there. And you also have a free workshop that I want to highlight, and that's in the show notes as well. And that can be, it's kind of like it facilitates a shamanic journey, right? In that free workshop that you offer.
Yeah, it does. We will look into a really quick way to how can we get the tools together, like really quickly. What is a shamanic journey? What does it entail? And then to do it, experience it, and then to be able to share, and to do it in a short amount of time. This is totally ridiculous. We could spend like I could offer probably 8-hour workshops, and people would ask me if I'm insane, especially if it's online. But it is finding that sweet spot of how much time do we really need to experience it and to share that experience, and then maybe trying out something else another time. But I would say it's 2 hours it's not enough time, but it is enough time.
Yeah, it gives somebody a taste of what it is, 'cause a lot of people hear shaman or shamanic and we're like, what is that? And I think that's really cool that you offer that. So it gives someone the experience and they can feel into that and also feel into who you are. So when they work with you, they're familiar, which is important too. So I think that's
Absolutely.
awesome. And then where can people find you?
Light trails, light as in either bright or as in not heavy, and trails.co is my website, and there you can find me, or on LinkedIn. I'm also pretty present. Yeah.
Oh, cool. Thank you so much, Martin. This has been an awesome conversation.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's been really lovely.
Thank you.